If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In a new interview, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci said that the country will need to play catch up with its rollout of the coronavirus vaccine and added, quote, we're not where we want to be. Specifically, New Zealand.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. To kick off 2021, Seth chats with Amy Poehler. But first, a closer look.
It looks like President Trump is trying his hardest to get impeached again and prosecuted after he called up the Georgia Secretary of State and pressured him to illegally overturn election results. And lots of Republicans are fully on board. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Well, it's 2021, and as predicted by the pundits, things have finally calmed down. And the only question left facing America is, what are the late-night hosts going to talk about now that Donald Trump... What's that? Who did he call? The Georgia Secretary of State? What for? Begging for votes? But says who? It was recorded, but how could someone record a call? Oh, right, because it's 2021, and anyone can record a phone call, and if you're a notorious liar who misrepresents phone calls all the time, you should probably assume you're being recorded from here on out. Yeah, but how long a phone call? An hour? But still, that means Trump talked for, what, 30 minutes? 59 minutes? Okay, but so what? It's just Trump being Trump, right?
A dozen Republican senators and at least 140 House Republicans plan to dispute next week's Electoral College certification.
The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, called the Department of Homeland Security to see if it was possible for them to seize voting machines.
If there's evidence of fraud and it's substantial and significant enough to affect the results in a particular state, then those election results would have to be set aside.
January 20th cannot be changed. That's constitutional. But this whole certification thing, the dates
well,
can be changed.
Well, it can be changed,
anyway,
actually.
Peter
Navarro. We can go past that date.
Some of the president's allies, including his former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, have suggested declaring martial law to force new elections.
Bombshell recording of a phone call revealing President Trump pressuring an election official in Georgia to overturn his defeat to Joe Biden.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
This is something far worse than occurred in Watergate.
Damn it, I really thought this year was going to be different. I'd already started writing down jokes about budget reconciliation and how Joe Biden's Secretary of State looks like, a guy waiting in line at the store. Hope they have the mints you liked, buddy. What? I don't know. The point is virtually the entirety of the Republican Party has started off the year by making it clear, in case it wasn't clear before, that they're actively trying to destroy democracy. Also, this story was yet another reminder that while we do a big countdown and watch a ball drop, the beginning of new years tend to be a lot like the year that just ended. It's like the break between rounds in a boxing match. Sure, we got to sit on a stool for a few minutes and sip water, but now it's right back to concussion central. And predictably, 2021 is picking up right where 2020 left off, with Trump and the Republican Party callously refusing to do anything about the raging pandemic that's killed 350,000 Americans or the botched vaccine rollout, choosing instead to focus on their unhinged attempts to light our democracy on fire. And we have to be clear-eyed about this. It's not just Trump. They're all in on it, even if they're conspicuously silent. They got their judges and their tax cuts, and this is the price they were willing to pay. You don't get to take part in a bank heist, then issue a statement afterward that says, I condemn this unauthorized withdrawal of funds from the savings and loan. I was just there to restore faith in our financial institutions. Now, we're going to go through the entire phone call in a minute because it's, you know, like insane and likely criminal. But first, it's important to be straightforward about what we're witnessing here from the Republican Party. This isn't just a matter of political ambition eclipsing a shared commitment to democratic principles, although there's certainly that at play here, too. It's not that Republicans like Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz don't care about the consequences of their actions. They do. They want to dismantle democracy. It's an act of goal of the Republican Party and has been for years. The same party that spent decades trying to stop people from voting through voter ID laws and poll closures and requiring felons to pay court fines and trying to toss out legal mail ballots is now trying to erase the votes of their opponents, not because they think their votes are illegitimate, but because they think their opponents are illegitimate. And we need to be clear about that. If your coworker at Chipotle spends years asking if he can wrap you in a tortilla and cover you in salsa and sprinkle cheese in your head, you can't be surprised if you turn on the news one day and see him arrested for eating a guy. Not Cannibal Gary! And the Republicans who voted to acquit Trump when he was impeached for basically the same thing are complicit, too. Remember when Maine Senator Susan Collins voted to let Trump off the hook for trying to extort Ukraine to help him cheat in the election, then said this?
I believe that the president has learned from this case.
What do you believe the president has learned?
The president has been impeached. That's a pretty big lesson.
That should go down as the fourth worst prediction in history after people are going to love this Cats movie. I think the Zune is going to take off. And the gift of the season is this Cats-themed Zune. Of course, that prediction was absurd on its face at the time, but it's especially pathetic in hindsight. Trump isn't capable of learning lessons because he doesn't inhabit our shared reality. That's clear on the tape. Trump thinks he's Al Pacino in Glengarry Glen Ross, but listening to the audio of his phone call, it's clear he's Jack Lemmon in a phone booth begging for the good leads. You have to listen to the entire hour-long thing. I mean, you don't have to. It's pretty awful, but you could if you had, like, an hour to kill. The president of the United States sounded like an inveterate gambler begging his bookie to float him for one more race.
I just need 11,000 bucks. I got a great horse. He's a sure thing. His name is the Cataract Comet.
And there's one moment in particular that really stayed with me that I can't get out of my head. When the president-elect, was speaking with the Georgia Secretary of State's general counsel, whose name is Ryan Germany, and then the president said this very bizarre thing.
I heard your lawyer is very difficult, actually, but I'm sure you're a good lawyer. You have a nice last name.
I feel as though I have a good read on what the president is doing most of the time because it's safe to bet on the most morally corrupt of the options. Yet I truly don't know what he was doing when he told this man, you have a nice last name. Was he snidely implying that this lawyer was un-American because his last name was Germany? Was he threatening his last name mafia style?
Nice last name. Would be a shame if anything happened to it. You'd just be Ryan. Gonna be tough to get mail with no last name, Ryan.
Was it white supremacist flirting?
Germany, that's a lovely name. I like that name, Uber Alice.
Or was it an actual attempt to compliment and an effort to sweet-talk him in hopes that the lawyer for the Georgia Secretary of State's office would say, well, my goodness, Mr. Trump, you have set my heart aflutter with your silver tongue. Now, exactly how many votes did you say you would be needing? Trump's combination of drowsiness and frantic energy are on display in full force throughout the call. It's like he just had a meal of turkey stuffed with Red Bull. At one point, Trump told Raffensperger that he was damaging the Republican Party for the upcoming runoff election.
Because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative.
Vote negative? Well, at least Trump's subconscious is paying attention to COVID. Vote negative, test positive, Trump 2024. It's tempting to think Trump is unique because he's an unhinged buffoon who cajoles and threatens and admits his criminality out loud. Meanwhile, his minions, guys like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson, cosplay as noble statesmen and use lofty rhetoric to achieve the same corrupt goals.
We've seen in the last 2 months unprecedented allegations of voter fraud. And that's produced a deep, deep distrust of our democratic process across the country. I think we in Congress have an obligation to do something about that. We have an obligation to protect the integrity of the democratic system.
We are not acting to thwart the democratic process. We're acting to protect it. The fact of the matter is that we have an unsustainable state of affairs in this country where we have tens of millions of people that do not view this election result as legitimate.
Now when Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up? I mean, somebody has to stand up here. You've got 74 million Americans who feel disenfranchised, who feel like their vote doesn't matter.
Ted Cruz definitely would have been the lawyer representing the city in Salem v. Witches. We keep hearing there's no evidence that these girls are witches, but I say, why not throw them in the river so we can know for sure? Republicans think the election was rigged because you guys keep telling them it was rigged. These guys would yell echo into a canyon and then tell you that someone across the canyon is yelling echo. And now you want an investigation into whether the election was rigged because people believed you when you lied and said the election was rigged? Also, haven't we done this already? I mean, what was that weird adult puppet show with Rudy and Chardonnay Charlotte? You want us to hear more about this nonsense? Look, the local weirdo can take 5 minutes at a town meeting to talk about how he saw Bigfoot, but at some point he has to yield the floor so we can discuss potholes or, I don't know, the pandemic. Also, stop with this bull about the 74 million Americans who feel disenfranchised. What about the 81 million Americans who voted for Biden who you're currently trying to disenfranchise? Maybe we need a committee to look into their concerns. Hey, we could even call witnesses. Maybe the Georgia Secretary of State or his lawyer could testify before Cruz's dumbass electoral commission. The committee now calls to the stand Ryan, and I will ask the court to maintain their composure. Germany.
Oh, no, 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 Germany. That's a nice name. That's a very nice name. I don't think I've ever heard a name of Germany. I hope somebody compliments his name.
These guys tried to use lofty rhetoric to conceal what they were really doing, which was the exact same thing Trump was trying to do, steal an election and overthrow democracy. But with his call to Raffensperger, Trump ripped off the mask and revealed what was really going on. He made it crystal clear exactly what those 140 GOP House members and a dozen senators will be supporting on Wednesday. They're not standing up for election integrity or trying to restore faith in our democracy. They're petty henchmen in a harebrained scheme to steal an election hatched by a deranged wannabe tyrant who talks like a mafia boss with a head injury.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
There's a real office vibe when you hear him saying, you can't do that to Ryan. Not sweet Ryan. But seriously, it is about time someone gives this poor man a break. After everything he's accomplished, what have you done? He got into UPenn despite someone else jumping in and taking his SATs for him. Didn't get to fight for his country in Vietnam because either his right or left foot had bone spurs. It's private. You can't ask him. Managed to succeed in business with nothing but his grit and a $1 million loan from his father. The list goes on and on. That's definitely what you heard, is definitely the voice of a man who's been in debt before. He sounds like he's begging the waiter at a steakhouse to let him skate on the bill.
Gary, please, you know I'm good for it. My wallet's just a little light right after I bet it all on the Cataract Comet. Bumped right into the wall. I mean, you'd think he'd remember to turn left. I thought it was an ironic nickname, like Cannibal Gary. He ate a guy.
And aside from the begging and threats and cajoling, there were also times when it was clear Trump was deeply immersed in the details of deranged conspiracy theories that you can only find on Facebook and Newsmax and in the darkest recesses of the right-wing internet. At one point, he kept asking nonsensically whether voting machines had been replaced, including what he called, and again, this is a very common tech term for people who know computers, the inner parts.
Do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure. I'm sure, Mr. President.
Shredded ballots, moving machines, new machine parts. He's just trying everything. It's like a guy without a silver bullet brainstorming other ways to kill a werewolf.
What about two regular bullets? Is that something that might work?
There's no reason to think that would work, sir.
So I know Frankenstein hates fire. And Frankenstein and Wolfman are dear friends. Do we think fire might work? Ryan?
No, sir.
Look, Ryan. I'm the last guy who wants to bring this up, but do we think the werewolf might die if we gave it COVID?
And then at another point, he repeated some deranged lie about military ballots. It was so off the rails, even his own aides and lawyers who were on the call went dead silent.
And what about that batch of military ballots that came in? And even though I won the military by a lot, it was 100% Trump. Do you know? I mean, 100% Biden. Do you know about that? A large group of ballots came in. I think it was to Fulton County. And they just happened to be 100% for Trump, even though Biden, even though Trump won the military by a lot, you know, a tremendous amount. But these ballots were 100% for Biden. And you know about that? A very substantial number came in, all for Biden. Does anybody know about it?
You guys, I think you might all be on mute. Can we check to make sure Ryan's not on mute? You guys?
I was like getting high and telling an embarrassing story at a party. You know, like when someone mentions karaoke and then you say, oh yeah, I know what you mean. One time I got wasted and I tried to sing Baby Got Back, but then I vomited and slipped on my own vomit and split my pants and farted. We've all been there, right? Right? In the vomit. Farting. Debbie, you haven't? There were even times when Trump himself couldn't keep his lies straight. At one point, he seemed to exhaust himself and just dropped the pretense.
They came in, a large batch came in, and it was, quote, 100% for Biden. And that is criminal. You know, that's criminal. Okay, that's another criminal. That's another of the many criminal events. Many criminal events here. I don't know. Look, Brad, I have to find 12,000 votes, and I have them times a lot, and therefore I won the state.
I just like to imagine what everyone else was doing on the other end of the phone call while Trump was rambling like a lunatic for an hour. It's like when you put your grandpa on speakerphone while you do household chores and then he just casually confesses to a crime in the middle. So anyways, the golf club got mad at me for not fixing my divots, so I complained to the manager and told him my arthritis has been acting up and I can't find my hernia donut, so I killed your grandmother and the AC isn't working. All right, talk to you later. Although personally, I think my favorite part of the call was when Trump repeated yet another conspiracy theory, this time claiming that people had moved out of the state and illegally voted in Georgia, when our friend Germany explained that actually those people had moved out years ago, then legitimately moved back to Georgia and voted legally there. Trump dismissed that idea as ridiculous.
You have all these different people that voted, but they don't live in Georgia anymore.
We've been going through each of those as well, and those numbers that we got, that Ms. Mitchell was just saying, they're not accurate. Everyone we've been through are people that lived in Georgia, moved to a different state, but then moved back to Georgia legitimately. And in many cases...
Really? How many people do that? So you mean they moved out and then they said, ah, to hell with it, I'll move back in. You know, it doesn't sound like a very normal... You mean they moved out and what, they missed it so much that they wanted to move back in? Yeah, it's like... It's crazy. Well,
there's that silver tongue again.
You mean to tell me people actually miss Georgia? Georgia, so much they move back voluntarily. They're burning backwater. I'd rather be dead than move to Georgia. And then if I was dead, I'd vote for Biden. Ryan? Ryan, have you checked if dead people? Ryan, I'm just talking to you now, Ryan. This isn't for Brad. Ryan, I just need 11,700 votes. Ryan? Ryan's on mute again.
And it's important to note that Trump was not the only White House official on this call. His chief of staff, Mark Meadows, tried at one point to broker an agreement to let Trump's team look at data they were legally not allowed to have access to, despite the fact that they've lost about 60 court cases and that the votes in Georgia were certified after being recounted three times. And at one point, Meadows slyly tried to insinuate that everyone agreed they should investigate the president's conspiracy theories before Germany shot him down.
Mr. President, this is Mark. Let me just, it sounds like we've got two different sides agreeing that we can look at those areas, and I assume that we can do that within the next 24 to 48 hours to go ahead and get that reconciled so that we can look at the two claims and making sure that we get the access to the Secretary of State's data to either validate or invalidate the claims that have been made. Is that correct?
So that's not what I said. I'm happy to, you know, sit down with or have our lawyer sit down with Curtin and the lawyers on that side and explain to him, hey, here's based on what we've looked at so far. Here's how we know this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong.
He's like a teacher who doesn't want to talk to a parent about her son's math grades anymore. Look, I don't think he's an A student who needs to recognize his potential, but I'm happy to sit down with you to show you exactly how he is at fractions. Meadows, Hawley, Cruz, officials at the highest levels of the Republican Party are all complicit in this. And as for Trump, what he did here very much looks like a crime for which he should be both impeached and prosecuted. Raffensperger even suggested today that the Fulton County District Attorney wanted to investigate it. There's a Georgia state law against criminal solicitation to commit election fraud, and there's a federal law that makes it a crime when someone knowingly and willfully attempts to deprive or defraud the residents of a state of a fair and impartially conducted election process. Look, I'm no lawyer, but that sounds exactly like what Trump did. It's almost like they wrote the law specifically with Trump in mind. Should we add anything about not being able to close an umbrella? Will that make it clear who we're talking about? Just because the GOP's attempt to steal this election isn't going to work this time doesn't mean it won't work in the future. Unless there are consequences, they're just going to keep going until they succeed. And Democrats need to remember that and do something about it now, even if Trump fades away, which I doubt. He's not alone. The Republican Party as a whole is a threat to democracy. That's the lesson here, and it's
a pretty big lesson.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy and Golden Globe winning actress. You know from the hit comedy Parks and Recreation, films like Mean Girls and Sisters, and of course her work on Saturday Night Live. She co-hosts the show Making It. The third season premieres later this year on NBC. Please welcome back to the show our very good friend, Amy Poehler. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Seth.
It is so wonderful to see you. You know, you were one of our first guests when this first hit back in March. Do you think you would have predicted we'd been in this situation now, 10 months later?
Look at that picture. That was 10 months ago. We had no idea what was ahead. We probably thought this was going to be a fun experiment for a couple of months. And then we were going to be having dinner together in the summer. Little did we know.
Little did we know. Are you someone who would like to know the future if that was available to you?
No. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I thought I would want to know what was going to happen. But now I would rather just someone just put me to sleep. And wake me up when everything's better. My kids were just watching The Matrix the other day, and I was like, is there like a waiting list for The Matrix? Or like,
So The Matrix appeals to you the longer you go.
Yeah. There are times when something takes a long time and it's really fun, you know, and there are times when something won't end and it's really stressful. This is a time when it not ending is very stressful, but I do like those times in life where things are going on too long and you're excited because it's so stressful. Does that make any sense? Like if you go to a wedding and the dad gets up and starts to give a speech that's really bad. And you're not very good friends with the person getting married.
Well, I've talked about this before, how you were such a good laugher at read-through, and a lot of times at read-through, I think a bad read-through sketch is a little bit like a wedding toast that goes off the rails, right? Like, everybody knows right away, and then yet people have to sort of very passionately perform something knowing that it's tanking. And you were a great laugher in those moments. Do you think that was part because... I always thought that you were doing it because you were trying to make people feel better, but maybe you were taking a deep, gleeful joy in knowing that something bad was going on too long.
I'm proud of the fact that as I've gotten a little older, I'm a little bit more comfortable with being uncomfortable. So the uncomfortable isn't always as horrible as it used to be. When I was younger, I think I was a little more codependent. I wanted everybody to feel okay. And I wanted things to, you know, I wanted to smooth everything out. Now, the new me, Seth, the new me just really leans into that kind of stuff now.
Well, that's good. It's a very good time to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And obviously, you've always been a forerunner in my life of being a little bit ahead of the curve as far as what's the best way. I have to say, I'm very... I mean, my kids are, you know, younger than yours, but that's very exciting that one of your kids was watching The Matrix. That seems to me like a jackpot movie that holds up, and it must be so fun to see through their eyes.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting when your kids start to watch things... And report back to you as if you don't know. I think I you know, like my kids would be like, you know, Led Zeppelin has a really good song. Not to pretend I don't know about it. Or my little one the other day was like, you know what's cool about SNL? It's not always funny, but it's fun to watch. Bumper sticker. Look, it's not always funny. But it's fun to watch.
I wish instead of the Broadway Video logo at the end of SNL, it was just Lorne pouring a glass of wine at the end. It would go to the credits and everybody would hug and then it would be Lorne. You'd just go, it's not always funny, but it's fun to watch. talking about different generations and your kids, you directed and star in this film, Moxie.
Seth, that's what I'm here to talk about other than seeing you and...
Right.
Saying
well,
hi.
You said you wanted to promote two things, Moxie and The Matrix.
Yeah.
Because they're, I don't want to do the checking, but I think they're anagrams of each other.
I think enough people know about The Matrix. This Keanu Reeves is great.
Oh, so good.
Moxie, he's not in Moxie, but Moxie is a movie that I directed, a film that I directed. You guys, do you remember movies?
Before everything? Yeah.
Now everything is TV, but there used to be this thing called movies. And, this is going to be on Netflix in March. I'm really proud of it. We shot it last year, and it's based off of a YA novel of the same name, and it's really about a young girl's journey, figuring out what she cares about and all the different people and voices that help inform her, educate her, and get her motivated.
I want to talk more about the difference between this cast and the Wine Country cast, which was your last directorial effort, and we're going to do that when we come right back with more from Amy Poehler. So, Amy, you directed Wine Country. That was with your closest SNL friends outside of yours truly. But I'm wondering what the experience was like working with this young, talented cast, as I'll show it again, and your old friends.
Oh, look at those cuties. Well, I really, really had great experiences on both. I think with Wine Country, it was a little more sisterly. And I would guess maybe in this film in Moxie, I perhaps was a little bit more maternal. But I don't know. I mean, Moxie isn't, it's more dramatic and it kind of deals with some deeper issues. So there was a lot of sensitive subject matter, and very thoughtful preparation and discussions from the cast. And in Wine Country, I don't think anyone even read the script.
Now, did they admit to you, or would it be over the course of the day, it would slowly dawn on you that none of them had read the script?
Realize, you know, an actress would come up and go, oh, so we're supposed to be friends? You know.
speaking of working with friends, you and Tina are hosting the Golden Globes. How's prep for the Globes going?
So good, Seth. The prep is going so good. We just have a few final questions, which is, when how, why, where, and when.
Great.
That's all we need to find out. But we're going to figure it out.
I think it will be a tonic for all of us to see the two of you in whatever arena it ends up being. I'm looking forward to it. I know you use time like this where a lot of people are watching television because you can't go out as much to catch up on the latest in television, the most groundbreaking, the TV, the films of today. What have you been watching the most?
Well, I've been watching this amazing new show. I cannot recommend it highly enough, which is ER. And I've been watching it from top to bottom. This is my third time through in my lifetime, but this is, I can't stop watching ER. So now I'm into like the wiki fandom of all the characters, and I'm spending all my time just Googling like, what happened to the surgeon in season one? Like, why did William McMacy not stay on ER? And was Eric LaSalle and... Yeah, Noah Wiley, actual friends. Like, I'm just so deep. And Seth, you know, people like to talk about the cool things that are on Netflix or on HBO, and that's great. But Dr. Carter's journey is so good. And at one point, he's saving people in the Congo. This show is so good. So
I'm glad you're giving Noah Wiley his credit because Clooney, obviously, Doug Ross was everything.
Clooney's the obvious reason why you go for Clooney, you stay for Noah Wiley.
Has Clooney's performance held up for you?
Well, I did have a moment recently in, I don't know what month it was, where I realized I was maybe too lonely and had been quarantining too hard because it was the middle of the day and I was in my pajamas and I was watching like, I don't know, rewatching season 3, episode 10, where Clooney saves a kid that's stuck in a water pipe and he lifts him up out of the water. And I stood up and pointed at the TV and I said, and that's when he became a star. No one was home.
You weren't wrong.
No, that was it. But, you know, I'm at a point now, Seth, where, look, we're very lucky. We have fancy friends sometimes. I know you have a lot of fancy friends and you are my fancy friend. But I have a friend who kind of, you know, who knows Juliana Margulies. And I texted him and I was like, you know, I'm just trying to set some intentions for things so that I can look forward to doing things once this lockdown is over. Is there any way maybe in the summer or in the fall when, when things get less, stressful and scary that I could meet Julianne Margulies at a restaurant and ask her a list of questions I have about Nurse Carol Hathaway, her character that she played on ER 20 years ago. And the friend was like, you know, I'll ask her. You know. I just want her to know that I have a hard 50 questions.
I'm going to make sure the next time she's here, I lock down that date for you.
That would be amazing. Have you watched ER? Because you're acting like you haven't.
But Amy, they weren't lying when they called it must-see TV.
100%. When I was shooting Wet Hot American Summer, a little gem that we shot like 1999, before there were cell phones, folks, they used to have these like TVs that you could wear around your neck. And it was the episode when Carol Hathaway, when Juliana Margulies went back to Clooney. And somebody was watching it on the TV running around crying like, she went back to Clooney. I mean, those were the days.
I recently watched just her last episode. Is that the one you're talking about where you see Clooney at the waterside?
Yes, where she flies to Seattle. She's like, I have twins. What am I doing? I can't. I mean, I love Lukasz, but he's sure. Not for me. He's going to find somebody else.
Preaching to the choir. Well, I feel like we've done a good job plugging a lot of mid to late 90s work that took place in Chicago. ER, The Matrix, and Amy Poehler.
I mean, when you think of me, you think of like, what's next?
What's the next big thing? I want to finish by saying thank you for being here. And also that the third season of Making It I love you, Amy. Premieres later this year on NBC and Amy's film, Moxie.
Bye. I'll see you at home.
releases on Netflix March 3rd.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.